What's it like when people start hearing about terrorism alerts in their cities? Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to Canadian Intelligence, eh? Recording this on December the 11th, so we're about 2 weeks from Christmas, and one feature of Western societies are things like Christmas markets. I've been to several here in Canada. I attended a lovely Christmas market in Tallinn in Estonia many years ago. So this is the holiday season. People like to get out and about. A lot of good cheer, a lot of good feeling. People are excited about Christmas. I know my grandkids are certainly looking forward to Santa coming in 2 weeks' time. But lately in Western Europe, there have been a number of threat sort of postures issued. So warnings that terrorism might be on the increase in a number of Western European cities, up to including the New Year's. And of course, the New Year's is a huge event in most Western countries. So the question is, what's behind these terrorist threats or these warnings, and what's the effect going to be on the public? So to talk about this issue, I'm delighted to bring on the podcast Peter van Ostijen. He is an independent researcher in Belgium, in Mechelen. He focuses on jihadi terrorism and jihadi ideology, as well as Islamic history, and he has experience in the Belgian Defense Ministry. So, Peter, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, recently, Peter, you wrote in the Brussels Times, which is available online, that people should avoid going to Brussels, the capital of Belgium, on New Year's. Why did you write that article?
I didn't really write that article. The problem is it was slightly misinterpreted by Brussels Times. Oh. I had an interview with at last the news, Belgian newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I actually did tell them that I will stay away from Brussels and from all crowded events. I wasn't specifically targeting Brussels, but Brussels Time, of course, they took it slightly out of context and they said that I was warning people to stay away from Brussels, which is not exactly the case. I'm just going to avoid busy places in the coming weeks, just a precaution, and I'm not saying that anybody should follow my advice or my lead. It's up to people to decide. And I think at this point, our security forces and police officers throughout the country are more or less well aware of where what might happen and where the problems might situate themselves in the coming few weeks. But then again, it's just a precaution. We have seen attacks by the Islamic State militants on Christmas markets a few years ago.
Yes.
We have seen the attack in Arras due to the Quran burnings and the situation in Gaza. Then we had the attack in Brussels. Then we had another attack in Paris. So the chances that some people might get involved in new attempts for new attacks in Europe is a likely event to take place. It is possible. And one has to take into account that there is this possibility, actually.
Okay. So I appreciate the context. And you know, it's not the first time that a news reporter has misinterpreted someone's words. I know I had the same problem here in Canada. I've also noticed that the Netherlands recently advised its citizens to avoid Paris. Now, I'm going to assume that that warning came from the AIVD, which, of course, is the Netherlands Security Service. No. So you're not surprised at any of this, then. As you said, the Islamic State has called for attacks. There's obviously heightened anger and concern over what's happening in Gaza. There's many efforts at solidarity with the Palestinians in Gaza. So none of this comes as a surprise to you, then?
No, not really, especially when you see that the situation in Gaza is, at this point, it's so overly dramatic on both sides. Atrocities have been committed or are being committed. And that causes polarization in Belgian society, but all over Europe, actually. There will always be staunch supporters of the Palestinian case, and in some cases they even laud Hamas and Hezbollah, and other people are so openly pro-Israel that it was bound to happen that more polarization would eventually follow.
Now, is it your experience, Pita, talking with people in Belgium and in sort of Western Europe, European countries as well? Do you sense that people have a heightened fear of terrorism? And let's make it explicit here. We're talking Islamist terrorism here. There's also far-right terrorism, and your country and my country have seen elements of this. But is it your opinion that the average Belgian also believes that there may be an increased possibility of terrorism over the Christmas period?
In my opinion, no. Most people, they don't really care anymore about jihadism in Europe and then jihadism in a broader sense. And strangely enough, it all started when Putin decided to invade Ukraine. Then everybody on Twitter and all other social media networks suddenly turned from jihadi experts into Ukraine experts. And now they have made another shift. Now they all became Gaza experts. So, so it's constantly evolving. The attention cycle is very short. And only when I've been writing, for example, reports on the situation in the Sahel for almost a year right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to really care about what's going on there. So it's actually tragic that the threat still exists. We have to take into account that there might be a possibility of new attacks. We have seen new attacks. One can't rule out that some guy gets the wrong idea on a wrong place at the wrong time and commits an attack.
You sound very much like my intellectual twin, Peter, because I've been saying much the same thing for many years now, that people appear to have forgotten that when you look at terrorism on a global scale, jihadis, Islamist extremists, still carry out by far the majority of attacks. You mentioned the Sahel. The statistic I have seen recently is that more than 10,000 people have been killed in the Sahel this year alone, in 2023, by Islamist extremist groups, some of which are affiliated with Al-Qaeda, like AQIM, some affiliated with Islamic State, like JNIM, et cetera, et cetera. You also mentioned a short attention span, and we all know that's true. You know, we've heard about clickbait and things like that. What do you think it's going to take for people to realize that when it comes to terrorism, yes, there are other forms of terrorism. We talk about the far right, and yes, it is certainly, I think, risen in certain people's mindset that it is more dangerous. But do you think it's going to take another mass attack for people to realize that the jihadis never went away?
I'm very much afraid so, actually. I'm afraid that it seems that only a major event can trigger the attention again from also policymakers, security forces, and go on. Afraid that's actually the case at this point.
Now, we also know that there are, shall we say, seriously strained relations in Belgium and the Netherlands in particular when it comes to inter-ethnic communities. So we know that there are many voices calling for limits on immigration, especially from the Middle East and Africa and Asia. Geert Wilders just won the most seats in the Netherlands elections. He had not enough seats to form a government, and he may have a hard time forming a government given the extreme fractious nature of the Netherlands parliament. But if we were to, God forbid, see an attack, whether it's a major attack or a minor attack in Belgium or the Netherlands or in Paris, in the next couple of weeks leading up to the holiday season, what do you think will be the effect on these relationships? Do you think it'll lead to a greater level of support for the far right? People like Geert Wilders, people that talk about replacement theory, people that don't want immigrants from a certain part of the world. Is this going to make matters worse as far as these countries are concerned?
Yeah, definitely. I'm seeing the same evolution here in Belgium. We have elections next year here in Belgium, and chances are likely that Vlaams Belang, far-right party in Flanders, will probably come out as the biggest party in Belgium, maybe even. And that would cause a serious problem because we've always maintained the politic of cordon sanitaire to not let them govern. Since 1991, if I'm not mistaken, we already have that system. So now when Vlaams Belang is going to be the biggest party, and if they would be able to form some kind of a coalition, then we will have a serious problem. Yes, that we're actually going the same path as the Netherlands, where Geert Wilders won. I'm seeing an exact same thing happen here in Belgium. And I don't think we even need more terrorist attacks to increase the polarization. We already see the polarization going on right now. I referred to the situation in Gaza earlier. Mm-hmm. You should follow the political debate here in Belgium. At some point, people who were very objective in all their analysis about the situation in the Middle East probably suddenly became so much involved in the conflict, and that they're saying stuff that is really borderline, if I can say so. For example, Hamas is not a terrorist organization.
Yeah, we hear that here too in Canada, Peter. Don't worry, we're the same over here.
How can you even pretend that to be true? It's like you're completely disconnected from reality.
Yeah.
Just earlier, about 20 minutes ago, I saw some of the audible footage from October 7. It's the first time I saw this footage. War crimes were committed, but then again, as a journalist said in the very beginning of the conflict, it's not a war crime that justifies injustice.
Right. Wow. Okay, I want to pursue this topic of, you know, the far-right politics. You talked about Vlaams Belang. We talk, of course, about Geert Wilders' PVV party in the Netherlands. How much of this, I mean, we know that in Western societies, politics tends to, it's pendular. You know, mm-hmm. we go from leftist leanings to rightist leanings. We had a conservative government here in Canada for a decade. We're now approaching almost 10 years of a liberal government under Justin Trudeau. There's a good chance he'll lose next election, probably to the conservatives. So the power does swing back and forth. Now, Vlaams Belang notwithstanding, and they are a far-right party, I mean, maybe this is out of your area of specialization, but how much of this swing in political leanings is due just to, you know, the natural tendency of people to want to change in government, and how much of it is due to a hardening of attitudes, especially when it comes to immigration and more narrowly Islamist and Islamic immigration?
It's a bit of both, actually. Vlaams Belang is not only gaining votes because... Let me rephrase. First of all, we have the problem or the luxury, it depends on how you put it, that we have everybody over 18 has to go vote.
It's obligatory.
Yeah, there's no way out. So everybody has to vote here in Belgium. That leads to the situation where people who want to change the government and who are just sour and pissed off at the previous government, they will probably go for parties like Vlaams Belang or the exact opposite is happening in Wallonia, where the Communist Party is gaining immensely strength. Yeah, it's a strange situation. So Flanders now is extreme right and Wallonia is extreme left. That would be the tendency. But this is nothing new. This has been going on since the 1990s, even earlier already, when Vlaams Belang was still Vlaams Blok. They were even more extreme in their views. And at this point, the polarization within society, the fact that basically our cities changed. We have a lot more migrant population in cities like Mechelen, Brussels, Antwerp than we had 20 years ago. People see their neighborhoods changing. They see more colored people on the street. They see more Islam. They see more whatever. And that's the fear of the unknown. That's what plays mostly, I think.
Okay. Now, some would argue that, you know, parties like Vlaams Belang and parties like Geert Wilders in Netherlands, when they actually gain power, they have to modify or attenuate their policies in order to actually govern. So Geert Wilders has said, for example, during the campaign. He's going to sort of put aside his, you know, calls for a ban on Islam and a ban on the Quran in Netherlands society, because otherwise he's not going to be able to have any coalition partners. Do you think there's a possibility that the reality of governance is going to have an effect on parties like this? Or do you think they're going to show their true colors at some point and implement policies that are very, well, let's face it, racist in nature?
At first, I'm pretty sure, actually, that if we would just counterfactual history, follow my reasoning. If we, in 1991, would have allowed Vlaams Belang at that point, to govern Belgium, it would have proven after maybe 2 years or even sooner that they are not capable of governing and that their whole program is based on hollow rhetorics. They don't have any solutions for the problems they pretend to have. It's just... how do you call it? It's like anti-politics in a way. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that if they come to power, they obviously would have to put a lot of water to with the wine, mm-hmm. in the figure of speech, mm-hmm. and that they will have to change or modify some of their program viewpoints. But I'm also quite convinced that if they are in a solid coalition, again, sounds unlikely, but it is possible, that some laws might get voted that are openly racist, yes.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, there is a reality of, you know, once you're actually in government, you've got to keep the water running. You got to keep the electricity flowing. You have to keep, et cetera, et cetera. So there may be an attenuation. Peter, this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. You certainly taught me an awful lot about the situation in Belgium on the political end and on the security end. I just want to thank you very, very much for joining me on the podcast. And I want to wish you a very, very happy holiday season. Merry Christmas. And let's hope for all of our sakes that nothing happens in Brussels over the Christmas season.
Thank you very much. Wish you excellent holidays and my regards to your family. Take care.
So that was my conversation with Peter van der Staaij in Mechelen in Belgium. So what did you think of what he had to say about the security situation and the effects on society? Love to hear your feedback. You can reach me on email, borealisfrisk@gmail.com, or on Twitter, X at borealisaves. Got to keep saying X, not Twitter. You also find me on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you like the content, want to get more, go to the website, borealisfrisk.com. Hit the subscribe button. It's free of charge, all the podcasts and blogs. Love to hear your views as well as ideas for future podcasts. We'll talk again soon. Until then, take care.